single soul. Reaching a further and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Living Life. I've mentioned my son a couple of times in Living Life recordings, but he is turning four really soon, and you know, he's a really cute thing, cute boy. And my son is a little bit late in speaking and talking as well. So you know, he's definitely started, and he's growing like really quickly in terms of speaking. But he's definitely a little late, a little slower, and not able to pick up words and pronounce and say them as easily as I would like him to. And, you know, he still does, but he used to do this a lot more, which was to refuse to repeat words and phrases that we're trying to, you know, teach him and show him and so forth. So before, I would like go in front of his face and say, you know, say, Daddy, and he would just look away. And then, you know, he would kind of make it a game of it, and just, you know, we would just chase each other around, and me trying to look at his face and so they can see my lips as I was trying to teach him how to speak, right? But then he started to say the word no. And he would just say the word a lot and really well, like in a very just cute but also kind of, you know, way that I didn't like. It was like, no, no, like all the time. And he would say no to everything, so much so that he would say no to things that he wanted, right? So I thought of a trick to get him to speak and say more, which is I would say things that he wants, that I want him to learn, but I know that he doesn't want to do. So I would say, you know, do you want to, you know, drink milk? No, drink milk. Because he would repeat it after he says the word no. So I just started saying everything to him just so I could hear him say no, so and so, that I'm trying to teach him. You know, let's nap. No, let's nap. And, you know, things like that, right? The thing is, he wants to do some of these things, but he says no first because of the overall attitude of rebellion that makes him automatically say no first. And today's passage talks about unintentional sin and intentional sin. And I thought, you know, I remembered my son and his love for saying no. So let's read the passage and then we'll continue.
Numbers chapter 15, verses 22 through 31. Now if you unintentionally fail to keep any of these commands the Lord gave Moses, any of the Lord's commands to you through him, from the day the Lord gave them and continuing through the generations to come, and if this is done unintentionally without the community being aware of it, then the whole community is to offer a young bull for a burnt offering as an aroma pleasing to the Lord, along with its prescribed grain offering and drink offering, and a male goat for a sin offering. The priest is to make atonement for the whole Israelite community, and they will be forgiven, for it was not intentional, and they have brought to the Lord for their wrong an offering made by fire and a sin offering. The whole Israelite community and the aliens living among them will be forgiven, because all the people were involved in the unintentional wrong. But if just one person sins unintentionally, he must bring a year-old female goat for a sin offering. The priest is to make atonement before the Lord for the one who erred by sinning unintentionally, and when atonement has been made for him, he will be forgiven. One and the same law applies to everyone who sins unintentionally, whether he is a native-born Israelite or an alien. But anyone who sins defiantly, whether native-born or alien, blasphemes the Lord, and that person must be cut off from his people. Because he has despised the Lord's word and broken his commands, that person must surely be cut off. His guilt remains on him.
If you weren't able to join us yesterday, Chapter 15 of Numbers is kind of an aside middle section that is between chapter 14 and 16 that has the story of rebellion of the Israelites. And then chapter 15, it's very out of place, definitely, and has three parts. Yesterday we looked at sacrifice regulations, and today we're going to look at the technical characterizations of sin. And then tomorrow we're going to see a case study of sin before the story of rebellion continues in chapter 16. Now, one reason that I believe that God has given us laws, sacrifices, and regulations is because our relationship with God is not like normal relationship that people understand, that people are able to understand. It is actually a difficult relationship. And so to help, this difficult relationship, God gives us some structure to help us along. And it's kind of like the way we teach our children manners, right? Whenever, you know, my son just turned 4, and when we finish dinner, we force him to at least clean up his dishes, to take it, you know, to the sink and put it in and not throw it in, but to gently put it in and so forth. Now, the funny thing is, you know, before when he was 2 and 3, he loved clearing the table. Like, this, you know, just seeing this tiny little boy, you know, struggling with big plates and bringing it to, you know, me and my wife at the sink. It was so cute. It was so great. Now he's rebelling. Now he doesn't want to do it. But we make him at least his bowls, his spoons and forks and chopsticks and so forth, right? And we teach our children how to interact, right? The manners and etiquettes in different relationship with their parents, with other people, with strangers, with other children. And we teach them, we provide structure in how their relationships should look like and how it should happen. And that's what the commandments, the laws, the regulations, the technical categorizations are supposed to do. But they can easily be seen as obstacles. And a lot of people do see them as obstacles to relationship. They see them as unnecessary red tape and more opportunity to nitpick, that it's like a nitpicking thing. But taking it as red tape and nitpicking is all done actually by us, by people, not God. Yesterday, we looked at how the sacrifice is based on the promise and the continuing and abiding, you know, for us continuing and abiding in God's promises. And today we're going to see the rules, the sacrifices, the laws as an aspect of loyalty. Our loyalty to God, but also God's loyalty to us. Now, firstly, as we begin from, you know, our perspective of our loyalty to God, the commandments, the laws, the regulations, the technical categorizations, all of those things are meant to keep God at the center of our awareness. Excuse me. And tomorrow, we're going to see that God even provides ideas of how we can do that, like, you know, with a tassel that we're going to be talking about tomorrow. Now, the center of our awareness begins in the mind, right? Our eyes, our mind, but it really needs to rest and be in our hearts. And what's more, it enforces the lordship and the sovereignty of God over ourselves as we are continuing to be aware of God in our lives, right? And this enforces our loyalty to Him, that we belong to Him, that He is our God, that we are His creation, right? Now, so with the commandments, the laws, the regulations, the technical categorizations, what it does is it gives us the intricate pieces of the most beautiful and worthwhile puzzle that we can imagine. This puzzle, this beautiful picture of a holy God who does everything possible and necessary for sinners to be with Him. Now, you have to remember, sinners cannot be with Him, right? So we think that, you know, for God to judge us is unfair. I mean, to think that is unfair to God because He is a holy God. And for Him to make a way for us to be with Him, I mean, that is just mind-blowing. Right? This is a reminder of God who saves. And our role is not to cleanse ourselves by our own effort, but to accept and keep on accepting this gift of cleansing, forgiveness, and ability to be with Him. the commandments, the laws, the regulations, the technical categorizations, they are part of this gift of cleansing. And we have a name for that. It's grace, right? God's loyalty to us is not the same as our loyalty to Him. For us, for humans, loyalty is kind of old. It's actually old. But God doesn't owe us anything. And that is why His loyalty has a different name, a different title that's so much deeper and powerful, which is the word grace. It's really about grace. And so today's reminder is that commandments, laws, regulations, technical categorizations of sin, all of those technical, boring sounding things is really the foundation and the root of grace that we have that enables us sinners to spend eternity with God through Jesus Christ. So today's passage and the devotional can really be summarized as our loyalty, considering our loyalty in light of God's grace and all that He's done and He's doing for us. Sinners, for you, a sinner, to be able to be made righteous by what Christ has done in God's eyes and to be able to spend eternity with Him. So I'd like us to live this day, continue this day by meditating and thinking about our loyalty, your loyalty to God. What does it look like? Can it be seen? Is it something that people notice? Is it something that you are living out in your daily life? What can you do today to show to God, to show and your loyalty to God this day? Yeah? And so that we can be reminded and stay and remain in that loyalty as well. Yeah, let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have done everything, that you have, that it is you who save us, that you, it is you who have done everything that is necessary, that is possible, so that we sinners can be holy, that we sinners can be seen as righteous in your eyes, for sending us your Son Jesus Christ to make all of this possible, Lord. And we want to declare today, we want to live today our loyalty to you, that we are yours and you are ours, Lord, that you are mine, God. We want to live that, not just think and talk and believe it, but help us to live it out in this day, Lord. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching a world as stepping in closer, CGM.